1 Corinthians chapter number 1 in our Bibles tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Thank you for the music, and it has been a blessing. And thank you for the message again, Brother Hopkins, and I appreciate your preaching and all the preaching thus far. What an honor to be amongst preachers. If you're a preacher, don't ever get so full of yourself that you get over being around other preachers. And I've grew up in a preacher's home. I'm thankful that I have, my whole life, I've been around preachers. And it's an honor for you to be here and me to be able to preach to preachers. It's quite an honor. And I trust that this week, however long you can stay, you'll be blessed, you'll be helped. And I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 17. And I'm going to read down through verse number 31, the end of the chapter. Verse 17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." The Apostle Paul, of course, is the human instrument who is penning this letter to, quite frankly, and he addresses this in later chapters, to carnal Christians. He deals with some doctrinal issues. The scripture tonight that we read comes off of him addressing the divisions over who is following this one and who is following this one. And he certainly addresses that again. And later in the letter, and he brings everything to focus in the text that we read this evening. Now I want to draw your attention to verse number 21, and that's our text verse this evening, and we'll use this whole passage. But as he addresses these things, and he will continue to address these things, he puts an emphasis on a certain subject, and we find it in verse number 21. "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching." The Preacher's Delight Conference is built on preaching and fellowship. There's nothing wrong with fellowship, but we've got to have preaching. We enjoy fellowship, but we've got to have preaching. We have heard some good music. Let me tell you what the music has done for me. It's got my heart ready for preaching. And quite frankly, it's had me ready for preaching from the first note the choir sang this evening. The foolishness of preaching. That's the subject of the message tonight, the title of the message. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, I pray that you would use what has already been said. You would use the message that in recent days you put on my heart to preach this evening. And Father, I pray that you would use this to help all of us. You would use this to encourage your men. The world could be changed by what's sitting in this room tonight. Our nation could be changed by the people who are sitting in this room tonight. Because it's not about us. It's about the one whom we preach. It's about the one whom we serve. Father, I pray your will be done, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We live in a day when the average church exists with little effect on the world around it. We live in a day when the average church exists without power. We live in a day when when churches are being filled with lost people and feeling very comfortable among the membership. We live in a day when our nation is in decline, and it is in a decline, it is due to a decline in righteousness. We live in a day when debauchery is on center stage, and those that do not embrace it or accept it, the lifestyles of pagans, they are the enemy. Why is our nation in such desperate shape? Is it because we have a Democrat in the White House? Is it because we have a Congress who, quite frankly, spends most of their time on foolish notions? No, I don't think that's the issue at all. I think our nation is in such desperate shape because there's a lack of preaching. Why is the average church a self-help session or judged by its entertainment value? Because there's no preaching. Quite frankly, I 100% agree with what Brother Hopkins said about you shouldn't close your churches on Sunday night and Wednesday night, and it's been alluded to it, but quite frankly, there's no difference if they're there or they're not there because there's no preaching. Why is the average Christian weak in the faith, have a poor testimony, and sheds no light in a dark world? Has the world ever been darker? Why is it that the average Christian is weak in their faith? They have no testimony. They shed no light in a dark world. It's because of a lack of preaching. God never, never instructed the church to entertain or ever to debate. I don't believe Paul is, when he spoke of the crown that was waiting for him, I don't think he was waiting for the crown of Twitter champion. I don't think he was waiting for the crown of popularity. God never instructed the church to entertain or even to debate. As was already preached tonight in 2 Timothy 4, the instruction is very clear. Preach the word. The pastor, I use that term loosely, of today is many times just a glorified cheerleader or life coach as they sit on their stool, dress like the world, live like the world, and have zero effect on the world. The day we live in, some of these so-called preachers, you may refer to them, you leave a Bible preaching church and they go to these emerging churches, and you may refer to these wannabe hipsters as down to earth or with the times, but you would never confuse them with a preacher. You might confuse them with a pirate because they look more like a pirate than a preacher, but you would never refer to them as a preacher. We must be reminded that it is the foolishness of preaching that God has and does bless. Let me say that again. It is the foolishness of preaching that God has and does bless. And quite frankly, we need a revival of preaching. We need a revival of preachers. We need preachers who are not intimidated by this world, not intimidated by social causes, not intimidated by the government, and quite frankly, not intimidated by the brethren who has less the things of the truth and not intimidated by the things. How ashamed are we going to be as we meet those saints who were burned at the stake and those preachers who lost their head because they would not turn from the gospel, and we allow somebody to shout us down on the internet. We allow somebody to shout us down in our parking lots because we do not want to understand the importance of the foolishness of preaching. Preaching is under attack. The reason why preachers get attacked is because preaching is under attack. these apostates. I don't care if they still call themselves an independent Baptist. I don't care if they still call what they call themselves. They are, by Bible definition, an apostate. They are reprobate. Just like the Scripture speaks of the homosexual, he speaks of the one who gives up their faith, who is disobedient to their parents, who turns on the thing, had the truth and left it. They are reprobate. And preaching is under attack. Preaching is mocked today. Preaching is made fun of today. I want to be reminded as a preacher that God has chosen the foolishness of preaching. Paul addresses, as we've already said, several things, and the remedy he reminds them is preaching. Let me give the outline, almost said very quickly. I don't know how very quickly it's going to be. Let's notice verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God. Now, the Scripture goes on to remind us that God's foolishness, God's is wiser than men. And in God's wisdom, we were reminded, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. God wants this world to know about Him. God wants this world to know about Jesus Christ. And it was obvious, and it is obvious, that the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God. So God said, how am I going to let the world know about me? How am I going to let the world know that I love them? I created them. I gave them a purpose. And I sent my Son to die on the cross and pay for their sins. They don't have to live with the burden of sin in their life. They don't have to die and go to hell. How am I going to let them know that? God chose the foolishness of preaching. That's the first thing I want to remind us tonight when it comes to the foolishness of preaching is the method is chosen by God. God didn't ask me what I thought about His method of letting the world know about Christ. And the last time I checked, He hasn't had any addendums to His book to change what He's already said about preaching being the method that He chooses. The method is chosen by God. It doesn't matter to me what the surveys say. It doesn't matter to me what the polling says. God has said it's the foolishness of preaching. And you and I need to be reminded, preachers tonight, let's be reminded God has chosen the method. God has decided it's by the foolishness of preaching that He will be known. As much as I love good music, it's not music God decided. He certainly didn't decide entertainment. Preaching is not just part of the program. Quite frankly, preaching is the program. Amen. Preaching is the answer. Not politics. Now, I may lose you on this, and that's okay. But I'm not planning on running for office anytime soon. Why wouldn't you run for political office? Don't you want to make some change? I wouldn't step down from being a pastor. I wouldn't lower myself to take the position of a politician. It is by the foolishness of preaching that God has chosen. It's by the foolishness of preaching by which the truth is made known. It's by the foolishness of preaching by which God uses to change hearts. It is preaching. It is not politics. Quite frankly, if we quit butting up to the politicians and we preach truth and righteousness, we might have a little bit of a difference in our country right now. You don't have to fall in line with me on this. But I tell you right now, we got the government we have because God allowed it to happen. Because God made it happen. But we have never, we have put aside our standard and say, just as you preach, well, it's just one political meeting of other denominations. We've got to get the right leaders in so that we can give the gospel. Yeah, what did God think of that? We got to work a little bit harder. Maybe we ought to preach a little bit harder. Maybe we ought to preach a little bit plainer. The method is chosen by God. I thank God for every born again individual who serves in government. I thank God for that. But God didn't call me to be the governor. That would be quite awesome, though, by the way. And since I mentioned a governor, y'all leave our governor alone. We don't want him to run for president. But we don't live in Florida. Too bad. Preaching's the answer. Preaching's the answer. The method is chosen by God. When do we become smarter than God? Well, it's just that old-time preaching, it's just not respected today. Why is that the standard? Quite frankly, it's not the standard. I love, if you're around here for 5 minutes, I hope you get the sense that I love my church. I love my church people. My church people love me most of the time. I would do anything for them. They would do anything for me. And I have stressed this to them, and they wouldn't have it any other way. But I don't preach to please them. I preach for Him. It's His method. Number one, the method is chosen by God. That should settle it. Number two, the message is Christ crucified. Verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified. God chose the foolishness of preaching. He also chose the subject. Jesus. It's Jesus. You can, and honestly, I don't know what you do in your church. I barely know what goes on in my church. But it has been a tumultuous time the last couple of years. With COVID, with elections, with all kinds of horrible things. This preacher decided, if I took one Sunday to address what's going on in Washington, D.C., that's one Sunday I didn't preach Jesus. There are good causes. There's one Savior. And if we've got to pick the one time, the one hour, the one opportunity, I have a responsibility, and preachers, you have a responsibility to preach Jesus. Jesus will take care of everything. Jesus will solve all the problems. Well, we've got to get our government back. If we win enough people to Jesus, we bring enough people to church, and they hear about how Jesus will save them, something just tells me that Jesus will still save them, and they can still grow in grace, and they'll probably vote the way they should vote in the future. The message is Christ crucified. It's not your best life now. I understand why Joel Osteen would push that. Because if you're not born again, this is your best life now. Friend, this isn't my best life. And if you're saved, this isn't your best life. But the time is coming. We'll leave this old flesh behind, and we'll have our glorified body. We'll be in the presence of our Savior for all of eternity. This is just but temporary. We must preach the message of Jesus Christ. It has never been more vital. You men understand this as well as I do. As we pastor and as we preach now, there are people who've never heard the name of Jesus who live within the shadows of our church. They knew nothing about Him other than the fact that's the name of that little baby in a manger at Christmas time. There's never been a greater responsibility because it's our responsibility. The message is Christ crucified. Thirdly, I see here as Paul addresses the foolishness of preaching, he reminds them in verse number 12 through 16. Now look with me, read this. Let's read this together. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. And let me just stop right there. He addresses it in a later chapter, and he says, if you're bringing up all this personality, you're carnal. It's the reason why you do it. I have found the reason why the people who bring up and accuse people of making personality an issue, they're bringing up personality and making it an issue. You and your heroes. They got their Trump shirt on. I only follow Jesus. It says you're carnal. It says, now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Man, you think preaching is tough now. I thank God that I baptized none of you. Sometimes I feel that way when I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. Lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. Paul addresses this because he was being made part of the issue. I wonder if he was being made part of the issue because of what he did before he got saved. You know what he was before he got saved. I wonder if there were some believers who just could not get over what he was before he got saved. And in reality, they could not get over the fact that Jesus would save somebody like that. Might I remind us, when it comes to the foolishness of preaching, thirdly, the messenger is fallen man. Preachers, don't ever get over the fact that God uses us to proclaim His name. The messenger is fallen man, and that's what Paul is reminding them. Paul was not crucified for you. Jesus was crucified for you. Friend, if you're looking for a perfect man to pastor you, you'll never find one. If you're looking for a perfect man to preach a message, you'll never find one. Let me tell you, there's all the same kind of preacher tonight. They are all fallen men. All preachers are different, but all preachers are the same. And I thank God that He uses us in our difference. I think of preachers, and I think of the number of preachers that are here and the number of preachers that have influenced me in my life. There's some old preachers and there's some young preachers. And I'm thankful that God uses them both. There are short preachers and there are tall preachers. There are large preachers and there are small preachers. But there are uneducated preachers and there are educated preachers. There are long-winded preachers. In this meeting, there are no short-winded preachers. There are white preachers, black preachers, Asian preachers, Spanish preachers, Indian preachers. We were at lunch today and we all ate and Lahar was there. We were all getting up to leave and the waitress says, "Can I get anything else for you?" He says, "I'll have a piece of pie to go." Somebody said, "You're getting pie?" He said, "Yeah, the white man's paying." True story. You say, "What did you do?" "I paid." That reparations is a real thing, I tell you. There are monotone preachers and there's excitable preachers. There's soft-spoken preachers and there's loud preachers. There's reserved preachers and there's Terrell Hawkins. All of us are different. I'm so thankful I don't have to be anybody else. Man, if God has called you to preach, you don't have to be anybody else. All of us are different. But all of us are the same. Amen. Because the same Jesus we preach that'll save any sinner, we needed to save us. The same Jesus we preach that'll forgive all of sins, we needed that Savior. And friend, what a humbling thing to stand and hold the words of God that have been settled forever. the written word and preach of the living word and preach of Christ crucified. May we all, none of us, get over the fact that we are just fallen man trying to tell the world of the perfect Son of God who will change any life, who will change any future, who'll save any who believe. The messenger is fallen man. What an honor. How could a preacher, preachers, how can we get full of ourselves? We do. But we are not worthy to speak His name. What an honor. He could have chosen angels to proclaim to the world. But what greater picture for a fallen man to preach of a perfect man who would save any sinner. The foolishness of preaching, the messenger is fallen man. Number four, I find the miracle is in its effect. Verse number 23, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now, the Jew, they're still looking for a sign. The Greek, it's the philosophy. It's the intellect. That's not a high enough level to just put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we do see that Jews and Greeks got saved. The miracle is in the effect of preaching. We cannot do the work of God in our flesh. It is a supernatural work for the Spirit of God to impress upon our heart a message to preach to His people. And that message meets the needs of everyone there. How desperately we want the lost to be saved. But friend, I have no power to convict a heart. I have no power to save a soul. I have no ability, but it is the preaching of the gospel that'll save the most educated man. It is as simple as, I've got to put my faith in Christ. It's the same gospel that the kid can ride the bus that was already preached and not even know a thing about the Word of God and hear how Jesus died on the cross for their sins, and they can put their faith and trust in Him. The old children's song, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Aren't you thankful that the gospel saves everybody and the preaching of the Word of God, it has an effect? It's the miracle. You cannot sit under Bible preaching and not be affected. I didn't say you'd always like it, but it has an effect. That's why God chose the foolishness of preaching, the miracles in its effect. Number five, I hasten, the mystery is in its simplicity. Verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. I'll finish reading these verses in just a moment. One of the hardest things for a smart person, an educated person, one of the hardest obstacles for them is the fact that the gospel is so simple. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to in my lifetime through the years, sadly, leaving the conversation with them, they could not get over the fact that there was nothing they had to do. And quite frankly, there are some who Paul was addressing, certainly those in that day, those in our day, and the mystery of the foolishness of preaching, that's why some look down on it today. That's why others would say you have to move away from that today. There has to be more. No, friend, it's simple. Paul addresses this, verse 27, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. In base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, in things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. God could have chosen anything he wanted to choose. But in his wisdom, it was the foolishness of preaching. Amen. Why is that? Well, it's right there in verse 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence. Amen. Preaching is about Christ. Preaching is Christ crucified. Why is it so simple? It's God's plan of salvation. Jesus could only, he's the only one who could satisfy the Father. The mystery is in its simplicity. I mean, you've all been there. You mean it's not harder than that? That's all I have to do? For those of you that don't know my testimony, I got saved just 2 months shy of my 5th birthday. And can I tell you, I've been saved ever since.
Amen.
Amen. Well, children, they can't understand. Yeah, well, hello. I knew I was a sinner on my way to hell. And I understood Jesus paid that price for me. And all I had to do was believe in him. I got that pretty quick. The mystery is in its simplicity. Guys, when we preach, men, we preach, we witness, let's not make it harder than God made it. Let's make it as simple as it is. And then number 6, and I'm done. That's the wrong time for an amen, but. I'm not sure if that was Brother Terrell or Brother Perry. Okay. It's the ministry that sustains the church. I'm going to tell you why some churches are changing. It's because of low preaching.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. That's right.
Verse 10 of chapter 1. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you. That ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. He addresses... As we've already seen those following verses, it's not about anybody but Christ. Amen. Then he goes right into the foolishness of preaching. This is what God has chosen. This is the focus. A strong pulpit keeps divisions out of the church.
Amen.
Churches become divided. The cause of Christ becomes divided because the preaching is not what it should be. And quite frankly, in our nation, the last 20 years, the softer the preaching has got, the worse off our nation has become. The preaching has, quite frankly, has gotten softer for a cry of unity. And a cry of all coming together. I'm for. We're here today. And again, I guarantee you, we don't all do things the same way, but we have the same book. We have the same Savior and the same salvation. And as far as I know, in the response that we have had for the preaching, everybody's going the same direction. We're not looking for change. We're not looking to go the other way. And I'm not looking to unify with those that are. And this soft preaching and a cry of unity, it has hurt us because the preaching has not been what it should be. There are divisions, and the foolishness of preaching would solve them. I'm glad I learned this as a young man. I'm glad, as you know, I followed my father as the pastor here. Something that if you know him, you know you don't ever have to wonder what he's thinking. But one thing I learned is the pulpit decides the direction of the ministry. I can say this in front of my church tonight because I've said it to them many times. And I have wonderful deacons who serve, and they serve, but they don't decide the direction of this ministry. This pulpit decides the direction of this ministry. I have wonderful staff, and you get to know them this week, and loyal men, service men, men of God in their own right, but they don't get together and decide the direction of this ministry. This pulpit decides the direction of this ministry. The ladies of the church don't decide the direction of this ministry. This pulpit decides the direction of this ministry. I have a wonderful, wonderful wife of I don't even remember how long we've been married, but a few years, 26 years. I've got wonderful children, but they do not decide the direction of this church. This pulpit decides the direction of this church. My alma mater doesn't decide the direction of this church. This pulpit does. The Preachers Fellowship does not decide the direction of this church. This pulpit does. Whatever association you want to put together, it's not decided. And by the way, Twitter polls don't decide the direction of this church either. This pulpit does. And men will keep our churches going in the right direction if the pulpit is what the pulpit is supposed to do. It's supposed to be. So what we need to do is every Sunday we get up and we say, open your Bibles, the perfect word of God, and we preach the Lord Jesus Christ. We preach this book. We preach what's in this book. And we keep the direction what it should be. It'll solve a lot of problems in the church. Well, I'm afraid that if I did that, somebody might leave. Let me say that again. It'll solve a lot of problems in your church. I love my people. I pray for my people. It grieves my heart to see my people struggle. It grieves my heart to see somebody leave. But my responsibility is to the local church. My responsibility is to this body. And my responsibility as a preacher is to preach that book. And God has given the directions to the church to do a certain thing and go a certain direction. And this pulpit is what decides. It solves a lot of problems. Quite frankly, our nation would be in better shape than it is if every pulpit in America thundered. Thundered. This past Sunday morning, we had several visitors, and we had some you could tell has never been in a church like this. And I preached Sunday morning, I was going to say about as hard as this, but it might have been a little harder than this. Say, what did they do? I don't know, I didn't ask. Amen. The altar was full. Souls were saved. Amen. Well, you preach too hard. You get too excited about Jesus?
Come on now.
Yeah. Right. Yep.
Those of you from around here, you know what Saturday is. It's the beatdown that Georgia's going to put on. Anyway, you know what Saturday is. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry for saying that in this pulpit. Please, please don't humble me. Please. That had nothing to do with Jesus. I'm so sorry. We need to go to a time of invitation right now. The point I'm trying to make is we'll lose our voice at a ball game. Nobody gets embarrassed about being too excitable. The pulpit decides the direction. If you're a pastor tonight, let's keep our pulpit strong.
Amen. Amen.
Our people are worth. This nation's worth keeping the pulpit what it should be.
Amen.
If you serve a pastor, if you're not a pastor, then you ought to be serving a church. You ought to be serving it at the pastor. Stay in one that preaches the pulpit. Preaches strong. Pulpit stay strong. Preaching Christ puts the sinner under conviction. I believe this. I've heard hard preaching my whole life. And it hasn't hurt me. I've had the privilege of hearing the great men of the past. And I believe this with my whole heart. People still want somebody to tell them the truth. We do people a disservice when we don't just preach the Word of God. I conclude with this, and this is my challenge. We go to invitation. Preachers, keep preaching. Keep preaching. Keep preaching.
Amen.
Nobody's listening. Keep preaching.
Amen.
Keep preaching. Well, this world hates it. Keep preaching. I alluded to it this morning. If you preach the Word of God with the internet and live stream today, you're going to get canceled. They're coming for you. They're going to mark you. The apostates, reprobates who mock preaching, they'll get around to you. And they'll make some demands of you. You know what it's about? Controlling your pulpit. Keep preaching. Stay under. If you're not a preacher, stay under the preaching of God's Word. Stay under the preaching of God's Word. Make it a priority in your life. When God uses a preacher, respond to preaching. It's good to use the altar. But it's better to leave the altar and respond by making a change in your heart. A change in your life. I can tell you, and I'm sure you could relate, how many times the Lord used preaching in my life. He's used preaching to help me make a decision. The preaching that's changed my life never came from a stool on the platform. I'd like somebody to tell me a message you remember by somebody who's a wannabe hipster, takes the pulpit out, sitting on the stool, tell me something that they said that changed you. Tell me something that was said that put you under conviction. And quite frankly, that's why we're running to it, because it's the itching ears. It's there's no truth. There's no gospel. Stay under the Bible preaching. Respond to the preaching. I know I've been called a lot of things. I've been called out of date. I've been called dinosaur. Those are the only ones I'll mention in the pulpit. But God has chosen the foolishness of preaching. I don't know why He did it. But when I was 6 years of age, He made it very clear to a six-year-old boy, I want you to be a preacher.
Amen.
I don't understand, first of all, why Jesus would save me.
Yeah.
And if you're honest, you don't understand why He would save you.
Amen.
But of all the people in the world, I don't know why He chose me. Preach this book. I don't know why He chose me to pastor the Emmanuel Baptist Church. But if God has chosen me to preach, then I'll just keep preaching until He tells me to stop.
Amen.
Until He tells me to stop. If God has chosen me to be the pastor of the Emmanuel Baptist Church, He's not going to send the devil to tell me He's changed His mind.
Amen.
I'm just going to keep preaching. I'm just going to keep pastoring. I'm just going to keep telling people how they can stay out of hell. And my responsibility is just to hold to the foolishness of preaching. Let the world look down on it. God blesses it. Let the critic criticize it. God blesses it. Let the backslidden flee from it. God uses it. God blesses it. Men, I am convinced that no matter what the result, God wants there to be a testimony that there is a preacher in your town. If there are no converts, which there will be, and if the world turns away from it, God has a record that I had a preacher in this town. I had a preacher on the backside of this town. I had a preacher in this city, and you stand and preach.
Amen.
It's the foolishness of preaching.